What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 284 on this Thursday, July 9th, 2026. 57 days until kickoff. Josh Callaway, Brody Lusk with you on a Thursday. What Oklahoma players are generating a little buzz this summer, about a month away from fall camp? We got the right guy to ask. Brody's been on top of it. We're going to get a couple names out there on each side of the football that have moving the needle a little bit this summer. A couple more commits, one in 2027, one in 2028. We'll discuss that. And a little summer offseason hoops check-in as well with our guy Brody. He's been all over that as well. How the team is kind of looking, what has stood out, what maybe some guys that have impressed. We'll do a little basketball check-in, a little basketball talk on the back end as well on a Thursday. Reminder, before we get started, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code on your screen on YouTube for listening on podcast, Sooners Pod 60. That'll get you a 60% discount to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Take advantage. Be with us every single day at Sooners Illustrated. All right, Brody, let's dive into it. I mentioned it. It's the summer. We're right kind of in the dog days here. Summer workouts are going on. We're still a week and a half away from SEC Media Days, fall camps, about a month-ish, a little less than a month at this point. We're right in the teeth of summer workouts right now. You reporting over at Sooners Illustrated. This is why you subscribe. You've been all on top of it, kind of what's been going on with the team, some guys who have stood out. We're not going to hit every name that you've reported on, obviously. Want to save that for our VIP members, but we'll hit on a couple. I'll tee it up for you there. You can start on defense if you'd like, or off. I mean, whichever way you want to go with it. But what have been some names that have stuck out when talking to people around the program? Who has made the most of their summer so far, in your estimation so far?
Well, I think the first name is going to be a surprise to absolutely nobody, right? Like Danny Okoye. Yes. When you talk to anyone, they're going to speak very highly of Danny Okoye. And it's always, you know, he's got it. If you went out to practice and you looked like, this will be the guy, you're like, okay, that's a NFL guy, mm-hmm. right? And it's more so just, can he put it together in the fall on the field, right? All these things that he's been showing in summer workouts or in the spring, can that all come together on the field this fall? Everyone talks about Danny Okoye. Like, that's the big name, I think. And it would be huge for him to have a good season for them this year. But yeah, that's the first name. It doesn't matter who you talk to, it's Danny Okoye. And that should shock nobody who's been paying attention.
I've heard the same. Yeah, he's been, everything's been great. He had a great spring, obviously. I asked Tom this on the show on Monday. I'll throw it out to you as well. Right now, I mean, Taylor Wine is one side. The other side, would you favor Okoye right now? Or PJ Adebore is still in the mix? I mean, if you had to get, I mean, it's July 9th.
Yeah.
Fall camp to go. But how would you kind of handicap that race right now, if you want to put it that way?
Yeah, I mean, like, I also talked about PJ Adebore in the notes. So, I mean, that's another guy. So, I don't know. I mean, I would probably lean towards PJ just, like, right now because –
sure.
He's played more, seems like, you know, but I think it's kind of going to be situationally with both of them. Like, Danny Okoye is your more speed rusher and PJ is kind of like, so I think they're both going to play a lot, but it wouldn't shock me at all if Danny Okoye was one of the first 11 rolling out there against UTEP. So we'll see. I think it's also going to be interesting at defensive end, like, who's the fourth guy. That's something I think I'll be watching this fall as well. But yeah, it'll be interesting which of Okoye and PJ can kind of separate the most, because even though Okoye has looked really good this summer, you still haven't put pads on in the fall, so you'll see kind of what happens there. But
and they're both gonna play obviously a lot,
right? A lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah and I think Kenny Ozawalu is another one that I'm watching close.
Yeah,
like I mean, this is not intel based right now, but like, I kind of think I would buy stock in him right now. It just seems like he could give them another, you know, we talked about the three, Taylor Wine, PJ, Danny Okoye. Like, this is another, he's a bigger body type. I think with those four, you just have four different types of edge rushers and it could really work.
Mm. For sure. No, it's an interesting name that, you know, I'm curious to see where he fits in.
Right.
Bishop Thomas too, another transfer. Like, those guys, I just don't know. I'm just interested to see where they fit in and how many snaps they end up getting when the games start. And we'll probably have a better idea of that in fall camp. You know, that D-tackle room, it's such an interesting group because Stone and Jackson are as good as anyone on the team. They might be your two best players on the entire roster. And then it's kind of, you know, a lot of guys who it's up for grabs. I mean, you have a lot of talent there, but it's up for grabs on who's going to jump in and, you know, kind of take hold of those snaps. Because, yeah, that's what made them so good on the defensive line last year, was that group of four was fantastic. And it's like, when you repeat that, it can be hard, but they have talent in that room to do it. So very interesting.
And that's the thing. Last year, you could slide Marcus Strong in there fifth, and he was making plays. I mean, the South Carolina game, he came in. Like, he was making plays too. So that's another, you know, good point. As we get closer to media days, I think these are the types of questions you start asking. I mean, Big 12 just had their media days this week. Too early.
And the headlines were all not football.
Yes. Basically. Yes. Which doesn't surprise me with the Big 12. At all. I'm more so
how
like
Oklahoma would have reacted to having a lime green monster logo on the jersey. That might not have sat well with the people in Norman.
No, there's no way. Is it going to be lime green for all of them, or do they?
Yes.
That's even worse. I thought they would like.
It makes no sense because Monster has a million flavors. You could easily just mix and match it. Makes no sense.
This is where I'm grateful for the SEC, and you would never see anything like this. But with media days, like, these are the type of questions you start asking. I think defensive tackle is a good point. Like, Nigel Smith, Trent Wilson, even a Tank Carrington, like, who emerges in fall camp? I mean, so it'll be interesting. I think there's a lot of positions. We'll get into a few more that are kind of like that.
No doubt. Gonna be fun. Really excited. They have a lot of defensive depth again. They're gonna play a lot. All these guys are gonna play. That's something that has become clear under Brent Venables last couple of years as he's gotten more of his guys in. The number of guys that play is a very high number, and it's going to be fun to watch it shake out. What about offensively? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of questions offensively of can they take a big step forward. Obviously, from 24 to 25, it was a step forward under Ben Arbuckle. Still not good, though, or not good enough, I guess is probably the best way to put it. For you, some guys that have maybe kind of stood out there in the summer that are kind of emerging as, hey, maybe don't forget about this guy, because I think we have a pretty good idea. I mean, that wide receiver trio at the top, the running backs, when you have Xavier Robinson, Torrey Blaylock back, but like, who else, right? I mean, who else is kind of stepping up and maybe, you know, having a good summer that could carry into the fall, and who knows, maybe get into the games when the, you know, September rolls around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we heard a lot about Washington State transfer Mackenzie Aline in the spring. I mean, he was one of the big storylines of that spring, and he's looked, 7-on-7s, he's been good as well. So, yeah, you know, he's certainly one that I would still keep watching. And then the freshman, Jasir Rogers, we like saw what he could do in that spring game with the one deep ball that Whit Neubauer threw. I mean, he blew by the first team. Like, his speed has been on display this summer as well. And he's another one to keep an eye on. It's interesting. Both those guys are slot guys, right? And Satania is obviously going to be your number one slot guy. So which of those two has the better fall and actually ends up breaking the rotation? Is it Aline because of the playbook familiarity? Or is it the freshman Rogers? Like, I think there's a lot to watch in this wide receiver room, but those two are making it really interesting right now to see who's ultimately going to be on the field in the fall. And like, I don't think they can just play five receivers. You know, I don't even, like, they might have to play seven with how deep this receiver room is. But those two right now have generated a lot of buzz in that wide receiver room, Rogers and Aline specifically.
It's very interesting, you know, because we talked about it, you know, last, you know, going back to the spring of, are they going to play more guys at receiver? Because it feels like they have a lot of guys. That first trio, that Satania, Livingston, Trail Harris group, which we think is going to be that top line. And then, you know, kind of who can work in from there. And the Aline thing is very interesting to me because, you know, admittedly, like, as he's having a good spring and people are hyping him up, and the OU football Twitter account is putting out videos of him making plays, it's kind of like, is this really a thing or not? Like, he's kind of like a very – I mean, he comes from Washington State. Nobody's talking about him at all. He was not like some big, flashy transfer addition by any means, especially when you consider they added Harris and Livingston. But then he followed up with a good spring game. He was really good, got in the end zone, scored a touchdown. And now, you know, you're reporting he's having a good summer. It's like, it kind of just keeps going, and I'm starting to believe a little bit, like, maybe this guy can – have a role, you know, this fall and factor in somewhere. I mean, he obviously has some talent and some ability, and there is some familiarity there. Not a ton, but some with Ben Arbuckle and John Mateer. And it's like, man, maybe this guy can be something. And yeah, I mean, having a good summer is very, you know, an interesting thing for him because he had a great spring, obviously, like we said.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting is like Trell Harris and Parker Livingston and Isaiah Cetania weren't really out there a ton in the spring. So you get more of an opportunity to kind of look at these guys. And so when the fall comes around, I'm interested to see, like, are they able to maintain a spot? I don't know. I think you'll see one of Alleen or Rogers have a role on this team as kind of like that second slot guy. You know, maybe you use some, you draw some things up to use Rogers' speed, you know, situationally. But I think it'll come down to what it looks like in the fall. I mean, it's one thing to hear about the buzz this summer, but kind of don't want to get too caught up in that. But I do think it's interesting because, like, Alleen had a good spring. Now he's still having a good fall. So, you know, I think wide receiver to me is one of the more, like, interesting position battles because we talked about it after those top three. Who is it? Is it Manny Choice? Is it Elijah Thomas? Is it, does Jaden Petit find a way to get in there? What about the slot with Rodgers and Alleen? So I think it's definitely going to be the maybe one of the positions I'm watching the closest throughout this fall.
No doubt. And Jermichael Carter floating around.
In right. I always forget about him. Like, he was that Alabama game. He was, I think he had some moments late in the season.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, he seemed solid and reliable. So is it just him that's that fourth guy and it's not Manny Choice or Elijah Thomas? I don't know. You know, I always seem to forget Jermichael Carter. And that he's too good to forget. So we'll see.
What about at running back? I feel like that's the position offensively that I have the most questions in right now. And that sounds in a negative connotation, which I guess it kind of is. But, I mean, it's the spot that – you know, you bring back your top two guys with X-Rob and Torrey Blaylock, and you have these freshmen come in who are exciting. What would Avant the transfer? What anything running back wise that is making that picture more clear, or is it still just murky? Because I think it's an interesting position. It's a new coach with Dylan McCullough. Anything running back wise that has stood out this summer that you've been able to kind of gather?
I think Torrey Blaylock will ultimately be your early down running back or running back one, at least the start, and then kind of go from there. But yeah, right now, I mean, Torrey Blaylock, Xavier Robinson, Jonathan Hatton, Dezephon Walker. He was really good in the spring. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Lloyd Avant is in there as well. That's one guy that's been talked about a lot. Colorado State transfer. And, you know, you obviously have some familiarity because Kevin Wilson is having a bit of a decent input in the run schemes this year. And Lloyd Avant played under Kevin Wilson at Tulsa his first year. So, you know, but he seems like, I used to think, you know, he'll be a specialist. You know, I don't know what it'll look like, but people talk about him a lot. And, you know, it sounds like if he has a good fall, he'll push to be having a pretty large role in this offense. So seems like he's a reliable running back that they could go to. So we'll see, but you know, I'm not counting him out right now, and I don't think it's just a battle of four. I think it's a battle of five because I think, you know, Lloyd Avant is right there after Torrey Blaylock and Xavier Robinson right now.
Very interesting. Very interesting. One last one I want to throw out there to you as well, just because I know you noted it earlier the week. I'm just curious, you know, you've mentioned Bo Bentley having a nice summer. It kind of same thing I asked you with the edge rushers earlier. Are you figuring it's going to be Whit Neubauer as the number two quarterback? Is Bo Bentley? I mean, that's another interesting – it's something you hope doesn't come up, but the reality is that Oklahoma's had their quarterback get hurt kind of a lot the last few years. Obviously, John Beer had to miss a game last year and was beat up. So the backup quarterback kind of does matter quite a bit. And I'm just, you know, like you said, you noted to our VIP members that Bo Bentley is another guy who's done some good things this summer. Any feel there for that QB2 battle? Is that going to spill into the fall? Is it leaning one way or another? How do you kind of see that right now?
I think it'll spill into the fall. And like right now, I think a good summer for Bo Bentley, and I mentioned this, is like mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Like, physically. You know, everyone saw the videos of John Mateer lifting. But if you look at those videos, right behind him is Bo Bentley. And he looked pretty good. Like so we'll see, but it seems like he's, you know, mentally starting to adjust a little more. So I think that's what it'll come down to. Like, will he be ready? And I think another interesting part of this, you know, in talking with people that kind of maybe we forget about, the 5-for-5 ruling passing, right? So you don't have red shirts, you know, like we've had in the past. Like Bo Bentley, there's no point in, he can't redshirt. He has 5 years right now since this ruling goes into effect. So there's no point in redshirting him. So, you know, in the past, like last year, you saw Whit Neubauer come in and take a few snaps because you don't think you're going to have to burn a game for Michael Hawkins. It's different this year. Like if you want to put Bo Bentley in and use him situationally, you could. So I don't know. You know, I thought Whit Neubauer looked good in that spring game. You know, if they're trending towards more of a pro style offense, maybe that fits Whit Neubauer pretty well. So I think it'll spill into the fall. I feel like if you were had to give the favor to anyone, you probably have to go with Bo Bentley slightly. Like that's what I would do, but we'll see. I think it'll come down to like mentally, is Bo Bentley this fall able to kind of put it together and be good enough to where you could feel confident putting him in the game?
For sure. And I'm glad you brought up the 5-for-5 thing, because that is a huge wrinkle, especially like you mentioned those two freshman running backs, like the
right
wide receivers. I mean, a number of these guys, because this is something that Oklahoma has kind of, especially on offense, kind of bungled at times in the past, especially with the quarterbacks, like having Jackson Arnold's red shirt once upon a time, you know, Michael Hawkins, same thing. Xavier Robinson had his red shirt kind of burned, if you will, in a kind of less than ideal situation. Remember, he had like one snap in one game. You know, I mean, they kind of haven't handled this well. And so just taking that off the table, not a bad thing. And it's a really big thing for like you said, for Bo, because you can, at the end of a game, throw him in there for a drive against UTEP or whatever if you wanted. Whereas before, it was a little more like a decision, like, do we want to use it or not? Like, you don't have to worry anymore. That's a good note. That's a good note.
Yeah. Like, you know, if Mateer has to come out for a play, you can go to Bo Bentley and not have to to feel super worried about it. I don't know. I don't know who it'll be at number two right now. That's another thing to watch. It feels like this year we have almost more like second string battles to look at. Like I feel like when you look across the roster, offensive line, we know who those five are going to be. Who's after that? Wide receiver, we know the top three like we talked about. So I think a lot of these like defensive tackle, like we mentioned, who's going to be third, fourth, fifth is going to be really interesting to watch over the course of fall camp.
No doubt. Looking forward to fall camp. We're about, like I said, a little less than a month, July 9th. We're getting there. And again, subscribe. Brody's been all over the summer stuff. More to come, obviously, over the month of July. I know our VIP members really appreciate it. They're starving. Everyone's starving for football right now.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting closer, but a little ways to go, but a little taste there. Well, something that's really kept us going a lot is recruiting stuff. It's been very busy. We've had plenty to talk about, you, me, and obviously Colin Kennedy the last several weeks. Two guys we talked about a lot. Oklahoma was able to lock down and get commitments since our last show that you and I did, well, along with Colin last Thursday. Let's hit both of those commitments, and we'll close out with some basketball. Let's start with Jaden Fields, who did commit earlier this week. The Hutto, Texas product. He's an athlete for us at 24/7 Sports. He will be a safety, though, at the University of Oklahoma, third safety of the class. Brody, just talk about Oklahoma getting this done, how he fits in to Oklahoma's roster. I mean, you've been pretty open about, like, they need safeties. They're kind of thin there with some guys moving on and graduating off here in the next year or so. And Brandon Hall putting together quite a nice group with Fields, Sparrow, and Jalen Scott, kind of tie it all together as Fields jumps in for Oklahoma this week.
Yeah, I guess never bet against Brandon Hall, like on the recruiting trail. He's going to go get his guys. And so obviously got Sparrow a few weeks ago. Then to get Fields, I think this is a really solid addition. People will see 3-star and, you know, but he hasn't played a ton of safety. He's played a lot of receiver. And so it'll be interesting to see when he gets a full season playing safety, what does he look like? You know, and maybe because he hasn't played a ton of safety, he might need a year or two in Norman to kind of get it going. But, you know, I think this is a good addition. When you look at it, you have Jalen Scott, who's more of like your free safety type, Bodie Sparrow, more of your strong safety type, and then you have Jaden Fields, the roamer between the two. I think this is a really good addition for them. He's very athletic. Like, you could play him at Cheetah if you needed to, and that if that's where they wanted to go. Obviously, because he plays wide receiver, good ball skills. So I like him. I like his athleticism. I think this is a good addition, especially like we've talked about, like Michael Boganowski, Amarion Robinson, Markel Ford, and Nico Jandro are probably all you're looking at returning to that safety room next season. So then to add 3 you know, top 100 Bodie Sparrow, four-star Jalen Scott, and then Jaden Fields. I think it's a really good safety haul. And I think Fields is a good addition for them. Obviously beat out SMU. They kind of got into this recruitment a little late, so went in and won it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good addition. I think it's good to get three safeties in the boat. Like, that's what they needed to do. They did it. So got to feel good about that. And the defensive back class as a whole, like corner and safety, is really, really good.
Yeah, no, really good secondary group for Oklahoma.
Yes.
It's a great class overall. Yeah, these three safeties, it's a great group for Brandon Hull. It kind of reminds me, not that the players are one-for-one comps, but obviously a few years ago, that trio, Boganowski, Powers, Jaden Hardy.
Yes.
And you know, we were all excited about that group, and I was like, look at these three guys. And they've all panned. I mean, I know Hardy has transferred out, but it was really just because of a snap. I mean, he was a good player. He had some
big
this year. That punch out in Tuscaloosa was one of the more underrated plays of the year. And obviously Powers is your starting cheetah this year.
Yes.
Boganowski is probably going to be a starter, you presume, with Peyton Bowen. Like, that group wound up all being really good players. Again, Hardy transferred out just because of like a numbers game. You know, if you could get that again with this trio, you sign up for that all day.
Yeah.
It's an exciting group. And Brandon Hull, like you said, very underrated. He's not some, you know, he's a really good coach. He's a great guy to talk to whenever we get the opportunity to do that. And he can just recruit, and he gets players, he develops players. He's not like the flashiest coach on the roster. He's not like real online or anything. But, man, he just crushes it. He just crushes it. He's been an awesome, awesome coach for Oklahoma in this, you know, Venables era. He's been excellent.
I think he's the most underrated staffer they have. Just because he's not all over social media and he's not all out there, so maybe – you don't see it as much, but it seems like we never really have to worry about if they're like safety, if they're going to get who they want. Obviously, you had a little bit of a deal with Jalen Scott going and visiting Georgia Tech, but then Jalen Scott visits Oklahoma and Brandon Hull quickly nips that in the butt, and now that's done. Such a good recruiter and talent developer as well. Like, Peyton Bowen's been really good at safety. You think Michael Boganowski is going to take a big step this season. So, interesting to see what he can do with a guy like Bodie Sparrow or a guy like Jaden Fields, who has all the athletic ability that you need, just hasn't played a ton of safety. So then when Brandon Hull gets to coach him up, could really turn into a really solid player.
Shout out the Hutto Hippos. Probably my favorite mascot.
It's incredible.
Elite.
It's incredible.
Just phenomenal. I absolutely love it. So any chance we get an opportunity to put that in there, I'm all for it. So Fields in 2027. Shifting to 2028, they're on the board. Trey Taliaferri in the boat, 2028 quarterback, New Jersey product. Committed Oklahoma late last week. Brody, you were reporting on this at Sooners Illustrated that pretty much when he decommitted from Notre Dame, you were very confident that Oklahoma was going to get this done. They did. They have their quarterback in 2028. I mean, that's always kind of a big thing, right? You want to get the QB and get it early if you can. He's the first guy in for the 28 class. Just kind of tie it up. And I know we've talked about Trey quite a bit the last, you know, week or so, but for Oklahoma to go ahead and lock this down, get this done, have their quarterback in 2028, just feels like always a good thing to get that QB locked down early. And that's what OU obviously was able to do with Taliaferri here.
Yep. 89 grade three stars. So I would not be shocked if he's a composite four star. Like, I think this is a really solid addition. I posted kind of some of his tape to my Twitter, and but the thing is, this is his sophomore tape. Like, his sophomore tape was really impressive. Yeah. He still has 2 years. Very live arm, like very, very live arm. He's stylistically a different quarterback than we've seen them go after in the past. 6'1", you know, but he's more of like a pocket passer pro style quarterback. More stylistically around like a Derek Carr or Jared Goff, that type of player.
Seen the Landry Jones comps? There's been a lot of Landry
Jones. Landry Jones, like just that type of player, player, which we haven't seen. Like, typically they're going for the dual threats. Just look at who they've brought in, Bo Bentley, John Mateer. So that's why Brady Quinn, you're kind of like, okay, he kind of has that same type of player. Like, that's what you would think. But they actually, Taliaferri was the one they wanted. When he committed to Notre Dame, they stayed on him. And Nagy and Arbuckle, they did not stop pushing. And, you know, that's the thing. This Taliaferri's whole family is Notre Dame fans. And, he flipped from Notre Dame to Oklahoma. So shout out to them for getting the guy that they ultimately was their 1A. And so, yeah, to get him to be, you know, in July right now and have your 2028 quarterback in the boat, I think that's a really good place to be, because I have reported on this 2028 class a lot. There's a lot of defensive linemen that, you know, I think Oklahoma's doing a good job with. I think this could be a really good class. But, I think this is a really good addition right now, just because of when you look at Taliaferri's tape. I mean, he has such a strong arm and really, really good. Like, he's very solid. And so just to think that's his sophomore tape and he's got two more seasons, I think it's huge to just get him in the boat right now, get that done, and now you go look at the rest of your 2028 class.
For sure. And you kind of answered the question right there. I was going to bring it up of, you know, getting the QB first and getting it early. And it's really an impossible question to really be able to answer right now. But in your mind, just, I guess, the impact that this could have on the class moving forward, because, you know, we've seen OU do this in the past and they didn't really do it the last couple of cycles. Right. I mean, Jameson Roberts was a pretty late commit, relatively speaking. Obviously, the year before, they pivot to Bo Bentley late with the Ben Arbuckle hiring. They get off Jaden O'Neal. But if you go back to the cycles before them, like a Kevin Sperry, who didn't end up landing at OU, you know, getting him early and building the class out from there. You know, Jackson Arnold was certainly like that as well. Michael Hawkins, even to an extent. Going all the way back to Lincoln Riley with, like, Caleb Williams. Like, getting the QB early and building it from there usually is kind of the way you do it, right? They haven't been able to do it the last couple cycles. But getting Taliaferri in now, again, impossible question. I don't expect you to know for sure. But in your mind, I mean, can only help, right? I mean, to have the QB, especially on offense, for skill position guys to have an idea,
right,
this is the quarterback that's going to be in your class with you. Getting that done so early just always feels like a really good thing, no?
Absolutely. It helps with the skill position guys. Like, there's been a few wide receivers that OU's been talking to their – you know, you talk to them and they say one of the things they like about Oklahoma is potentially teaming up with Jameson Roberts. So you can show them, you know, what the quarterback you're bringing in, like his film and what he looks like. And, hey, wouldn't you like to play with this quarterback? So, you know, I think it definitely helps. I like what they've done with quarterback recruiting. Obviously, Bo Bentley, we'll see what he can do. Mm-hmm. You know, Jameson Roberts, I think, is very solid. And then Taliaferri. So we'll see. But, you know, I certainly like this. I mean, you remember when Lincoln Riley was here, it was every other year you're getting a quarterback. You know, this is every single year. So I think they're really building out their depth in that quarterback room.
Yeah.
But I like Taliaferri, and I like that he's a little bit different than what we've seen them take in the past. Not your typical dual threat. Like, if your quarterback room in 2-3 years is potentially Bo Bentley, Jameson Roberts, Trey Taliaferri, you have different types of quarterbacks. Sure. And I like that. So we'll see, but I think it definitely will help recruiting. You know, especially Taliaferri's from New Jersey. That's not really a typical, you know, recruiting pipeline for Oklahoma. So, you know, if there are some kids up there that he could help them recruit, it gives them a little bit more of an in now than they would have had in the past.
No doubt. Going to be fun to see, you know, how, as he develops. And like you noted, he's a high 3-star right now, composite 4, and he's so young. I mean, he's going to go up. Give it time. And so he'll go up, and it's going to be fun to see how that progresses. And obviously that 27 class is awesome. And you know, you get him in to start your 28 group, and we'll see how they build it out from there as they continue to try and stack, you know, these big classes, you know, year after year. So good stuff with Trey Taliaferri in the boat, and we'll see where they go from there in 2028. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break. Before we go, let's do a little hoops. Why not? Let's do a little basketball for the sickos out there that are. I know football's in. We're in full football mode right now for obvious reasons. We're about 2 months away from the opener, but basketball is in full swing. Obviously, in terms of summer stuff, the team's been together. How long has it been? Like a couple weeks. Team's been together.
June 15th. June 15th.
So like 3-4, a little more, like 3-4 weeks then. Almost a month. Obviously, big year. It's a fun team, roster on paper, very interesting roster on paper, a lot of new faces, but some key returning faces like Xavier Brown, obviously Darian Reed, Dayton Forsythe, Kai Rogers. How are things going? Just a little check-in with you. I know, obviously, again, Brody's been crushing on football, the team stuff, and obviously the recruiting stuff, but your basketball coverage is the best in the market by far. Just How's it going? I mean, a little check-in with OU Hoops. Who has kind of maybe stood out so far in the summer? How are things kind of feeling right now with OU Hoops here in you know, mid-July?
I think the biggest thing is that they're going to add to this roster, and they're going to add contributors to this roster. Like, yeah, they are not done. And we'll talk more about that. But as far as a basic check-in, Akolda Gack just got in a few weeks ago. So he was late to join the team, but he's there now. They've had a lot of minor injuries that you're holding guys out in the summer for. So haven't really had the whole team going. The first 2-3 weeks, they couldn't scrimmage because so many guys were out banged up with just little things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think two players who I noted on this a few weeks ago, Gage Mayfield's been solid as a freshman physically. Like, I don't know how much he'll play, but physically he's looked solid. And then Yak. I really don't think it's just guaranteed that Kai Rogers is going to be the backup center. I really think it's a true 50-50 battle between those two for who will be, you know, backing up Akolda Gack. And yeah, that's another thing with Gack. We're going to have to monitor the eligibility situation. Who knows how that will go. OU is confident that they will have Gack come, you know, the season, but what form or fashion does that look? Do you have to go to court over it? Do you have to appeal it? Mm-hmm. Do they deny him? That's all up in the air. No one really knows with the eligibility right now. So, yeah, I mean, they haven't had a ton, everyone available, but Yak and Kai Rogers, I think that's going to be a battle to watch. Obviously, Dayton Forsyth had the ankle surgery, so he's been out. But he's progressing pretty fast, faster than they anticipated, which is good. So, yeah, a lot of guys banged up. Darion Reed hasn't practiced a ton. Mm-hmm. Pop Isaacs came in and, you know, wasn't fully cleared. Kenai Ruth was banged up. So we'll just have to see. But yeah, I think what's interesting to me is that they're looking to expand this roster, not just add, you know, into the bench guys.
Yeah, for sure. You know, get the injuries out of the way now, you know, get everyone healthy, obviously before you get to November when the games start, but definitely interesting. And you know, the backup big man thing is interesting. I mean, it could be a good thing for you in that, you know, if an injury happens, you feel like you have options or whatever, even if you want to play some two big lineups and stuff where you kind of need a third guy, or, you know, depending on who you're playing or whatever. If Kai and Yak are both viable options off the bench, that can only be a good thing for you. So very interesting there. I feel like everyone kind of, when they got him, Yak, that it was kind of like, okay, he's big depth, but to hear that he's pushing to like really get legitimate bench minutes, kind of interesting to say the least. As far as you mentioned, maybe adding to the roster, what are they looking at? I mean, you know, you noted it, and it's kind of interesting. And that's the thing that, you know, you've been reporting on to our VIP members. Like, they have a roster spot, they have some money to play with, and like they're not just looking for, like you said, not just like a throw in, but like someone who can legitimately help. What are they? You don't have to get specific if you don't want. That's
yeah.
But
yeah,
as far as like what they're looking for, what would they like to add?
So here's the interesting thing. They actually have two roster spots. You have the one which will be scholarship, but they could do what they did with Jeremiah Fears and bring someone in late. And, you know, he's not technically on scholarship, but NIL covers his scholarship. Doesn't really matter, right? So theoretically, they could add two contributors to this roster. I think first, it's going to be a guard. And it's going to be a guard that, you know, they're confident he could come in and play and push Pop Isaacs to start, right? And so we've on the board talked all about Oleksandr Kovliar from Ukraine. He's a name to watch. You know, I've had a bunch of stuff up on him. You know, that's someone, if he were to come in, you know, he would really push to play, probably be your sixth man. So they are... One, it's going to be adding another guard, right? Because you want to have depth there. You have Xavier Brown, you have Pop Isaacs, Dayton Forsyth, and then Quincy Wadley. But you want to get one more in there so that you can have options. Last year, they didn't have options. I think a big reason why they went on that 10-game losing streak is because Dayton Forsyth was hurt, and you didn't have a fourth ball handler. You only had those three. So they want to add another guard, and they want to add more scoring. And that's kind of what they're looking for. Best available guard overseas. Then if they were to take a second one, I think it would be a wing. Just to bolster that depth, you're going to start Darion Reed and Kenai Roots, and then Tyler Hendricks from Utah Valley is really solid. Yeah. But you want to get one more in there. Like I mentioned, Gage Mayfield's been solid, but you want someone that he actually has to battle with. So I think guard and wing, they'll look for best available. Here's the interesting thing. With the way things are in college basketball, it's a mess right now. You have a bunch of players suing to get that fifth year because the 5-for-5. So there's this whole, will the retroactive 5-for-5 go through? If it does, tons of guys would be having another year. Like Tay Davis isn't one. Like those types of players would have another season. Yeah. And so Oklahoma's kind of playing a little bit of a waiting game right now. Like, do you go get the overseas guys or do you wait? Because if they wait and the retroactive 5-for-5 works, Oklahoma's going to have more money than many other schools and more spots than other schools. So they could really take advantage of that and it really benefit them. So I think that's where things are at right now. That's why you kind of haven't seen things move quickly, because they're kind of just waiting. Like, is this going to work out? Are these guys going to get a fifth year? Or do we just need to go get the overseas guys? I think that's where we're at. I think the next 2 weeks will be telling, like, should see kind of what happens there. But it's interesting times. But that's the big thing. No matter what avenue they go to, they are going to add two more contributors. And I would expect one to be a guard and one to be a wing.
Extremely interesting, no doubt, to see, you know, it's just, you know, to be in, you know, mid-July and you feel like you kind of like where your roster is. There's some legitimate excitement about what you have back and what you added, but then also to have, like you said, two spots to play with, and they're going to be aggressive, it sounds like, with the spots of
absolutely
guys that can legitimately play and you know, and help the cause. So it's an interesting spot to be in. It's an interesting team. It's a you know, just a fun group right now, and I'm interested to see what they do with those two spots.
Yeah. At least. It's an interesting team. And if you go throw in another overseas Ukrainian guard, I feel like it gets even more interesting. Like, what is this group going to look like? You know, but it's interesting. We'll get a good look at the team very early on in October. I haven't really mentioned this, but if anyone's listening at this point, I'll say it. Like, the SEC is actually pushing teams to do exhibitions against interconference opponents in October. So like, there was a push for Oklahoma to play a Texas or a Mississippi State when the football team plays them, like the Friday night before. So I think what we could see would be like Oklahoma, they could play Auburn and Birmingham right before SEC media days. So nonetheless, like, I think there's a chance you're going to get a look at Oklahoma versus a conference opponent in October. So we'll see, but you know, that's not that long away. You know, and with the SEC pushing for this, like, it would be open games. Like, we'll see. I hate the fact that conference opponents would play each other in October, but
yeah, that's interesting.
I guess this is where we're going. So, we'll see.
That would be wild, obviously, if that were to happen, but I, you know, we'd be here for it. Why not get a little look? I mean, it's not SEC, obviously. That adds a whole new wrinkle. But, like, you see, obviously, in baseball, which is a sport that I cover very closely, like, last year, OU played Texas Tech in a fall game. Now, again, that's not the same league. That's a whole different wrinkle to have in the same league. But, you know, it's not it's not crazy to do. And so it's a good thing for fans.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, get a little bit of an assessment of your team. And so I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for it. Put it on TV. Why not? Do the whole thing. Why not?
Yep, sounds like they want to do something like that. So sure. So we'll see. I would also expect OU to maybe do some sort of foreign tour in August, because you can do that every year now, and you get 10 extra practices. So instead of like a whole big foreign tour, you go to an island and play like one or two games, and you really just do that for the extra 10 practices. So we'll see what that looks like, but that's another thing. So yeah, I mean, basketball season, they're in their off season right now. We'll see what happens, but yeah. Not done with this roster. They've historically had good success on late summer additions. Sure. Jeremiah Fears, Glenn Taylor, and then for every Jeremiah Fears, you have an Alec Blair. You know, they also landed him in the summer. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. It's definitely something to follow. We'll have more over on the board just as things progress with these guys they're looking at. So something to keep an eye on, because these are not just going to be roster spots. They're going to add contributors.
For sure. And like you said, Brody's all over it on the board. So if you're really dialed in, you want to know what's going on, subscribe, be with us every single day. And I'm sure we'll touch on it again on the show here before, you know, we get too deep into football, you know, fall camp and stuff. As more developments happen with GAC or the two roster spots, sure we'll discuss. But interesting group and excited to see what they do with those two roster spots. You mentioned Alec Blair, Texas A&M, by the way, for
Fred. Yeah.
How about that? Still in the SEC.
How about that?
Still in the SEC. So
how about that?
We'll see him again next year, presumably, if they have a series against each other.
If he plays.
Go ahead.
If he plays. We'll see. Yeah.
If he plays. I think that's it. We'll be back next week. Tom and I will be back on Monday. We will hit some schedule talk. We're going to do a little bit of a schedule breakdown. Most important game, toughest game. I think we're going to do over-under on wins for this upcoming season, which is really low. Not to tip my hand on my pick there. We'll do a little bit of that on Monday. We'll also recap the MLB draft. And we're going to look ahead to Media Days because the Media Days is the following week, if you can believe it. So we'll do a little bit of that. Brody and I will circle back next Thursday. We'll hit some more recruiting stuff and maybe some other team stuff as we get closer and closer to getting this thing started. We're getting there. 57 days. 8 weeks from
almost.
We're getting there. You got a little bit of time. You still got some summer. Take advantage of it. But we're getting there. We're getting somewhere.
Yep. Yep.
I think that's it for now. We'll be back on Monday with Tom. Brody and I will circle back next Thursday. For Brody Lusk, I'm Josh Calloway. Signing off. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.